Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Balance Wrap-Up, and that legend continues today.
All right, welcome to the Balance Wrap-Up. My name is Tom Marquis El Presidente. Right alongside me is the guy who gets in trouble for singing in the shower every morning, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. How are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, Tom. You know what I was thinking about just a few minutes ago? I believe this is the first time we've ever done our show on Colts game day.
That very well might be. I don't know. We'll have to go back and check the stats on that. And it is game day, boys and girls. That's right. Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Josh, take 3 minutes and tell us what's going to happen tonight between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and predict the Curtis Painter throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he cements himself as a starting quarterback for at least the rest of this year. But there are some keys that the Colts must do on offense. I'll go ahead and give you the offensive ones. We'll talk about them, then get into the defensive keys. Number one, the Colts offensive line must protect Painter and give him time to feel comfortable, get him time to see the field. This will be his first start. They need to get Joseph Addai, DeLon Carter going early. They need to hand the ball off, pick up 20, 30 yards pretty quick. You know, Painter's had a tendency to make the awe-inspiring throw, to make the heroic throw, to make the 60-yard bomb when there's a wide-open 8-yard pass. He needs to make simple, not spectacular. They need to get 4 or 5 people involved in the passing game. Tom, we need to score a touchdown in the first quarter. I don't think we've done that this year. In fact, I know we haven't. We need to avoid penalties and turnovers. Any of those you agree with or disagree with, Tom?
Well, one person who isn't going to be able to avoid a penalty is Mr. Arch Leeser. Oh, my goodness. I don't think we're going to get him back. But, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I totally agree with you, Josh. We have got to score early. And Curtis Painter has to use his running game to his advantage. And we need to – Jeff Saturday needs to step up and lead this offensive line. Curtis Painter needs to use Joseph Addai and utilize him in a lot of plays. We really gotta put away those third and long situations. Painter needs to be able to be in a situation where he can utilize number 44 Dallas Clark in the offensive line and passing game as well, Josh.
I would agree. Here's an encouraging sign for Indianapolis Colts fans. So far this season, Joseph Addai is averaging 4.6 yards a carry, the best three-game stretch of his career. He's never in his career had a streak where he's averaged 4.6 yards a carry for 4 consecutive games. You know, he hasn't rushed for 100 yards yet, but that's because the Colts stopped giving him the football because we've had a tendency to fall behind, so therefore we can't run the ball. I think if we could get a lead, Joseph Addai could very easily run for 100 yards every game the rest of this year. There's nobody on the schedule that really scares me as far as defense goes, maybe the New York Jets. But I don't see any reason why Joseph Addai can't gain 100, 125 yards week in and week out.
Do we still have you?
Moving over to the defensive side of the football.
Well, it sounds like we're having some technical difficulties. We'll try to reconnect with Josh here in just a moment. Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Josh, can you hear us? All right, well, it appears that we've lost Josh. Skype is always a fascinating thing to use. We're breaking down the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts, while we're waiting for Josh to get back on the line with us here. I think that we do have Josh. Josh, are you back with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I don't know what happened there, but that's okay. We move forward. Here's the thing. The Indianapolis Colts have got to win. They have got to figure out a way to make things work with Curtis Painter. Curtis Painter is their quarterback, and it is going to be good to watch him play tonight in his first NFL start. Third-year Colts quarterback Painter, like I said, makes his first NFL start on the road in the front of national television. All eyes are on national television. Are all on Curtis Painter tonight on Monday Night Football. I think that he will do well if we utilize players like Joseph Addai and Dallas Clark in the play scheme. And here's the thing: I think that he's got to be patient. Don't rush the when I say don't rush the play. That's still not what I mean, but you know what I mean. and I tell you what, the Bucs really haven't been firing on all exactly been firing on all their cylinders either. So the Colts have a very good opportunity to win this game on national football. On national television tonight. And if Curtis Painter comes away with the win on that, I think it speaks volumes for the kind of quarterback that he is, Josh.
I would absolutely agree, but there's something I want to talk to you about before we move over to the defensive keys. So yesterday, and I know you follow Jim Irsay on Twitter, Tom, he was going above and beyond. He was praising Tony Dungy, talk about what a great person he is, a great coach. He's a lucky charm. He has good mojo. And tonight, Jim Irsay's invited guest. Now, I know Dungy's the former coach of the Colts. Do you think the slow start the Colts are off to has anything to do with Dungy being in the owner's box tonight, or do you think it's just a coincidence?
Josh, are you with us? Well, it appears that we've lost Josh yet again. We are having some major technical problems here today, so we're going to try to get that back. Hopefully we can get Josh back on the line here any second here. We've got to go to a break, and when we get back, hopefully we'll have Josh on the line, and we'll be able to continue to break down the Colts on Monday Night Football, the Colts in Tampa Bay.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Wrap-Up. Hopefully we can continue to break down the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I'm not entirely sure what keeps happening. But what I was saying, Tom, is yesterday Irsay was tweeting about how much he likes Dungy and how he thinks he's a good role model and good luck and full of mojo. And tonight he's in Irsay's box. Do you think the slow start has anything to do with Dungy being there, or is it just two friends going to a ball game together?
I think that's all it is. I don't see that there's any superstition here. But right now we can use all the superstition that we can get in beating Tampa Bay. And Josh, if you remember right, it turned out pretty good for us last time against Tampa Bay, the last time we played them on Monday Night Football.
Yes, it did. I believe they called that the Miracle on Monday Night or something like that. ESPN's given it some catchy name, where the Colts were down by 28 points with 3 minutes to go and end up winning the ball game 38-35. I do remember that game. Most people fell asleep. I'm pretty sure Tom was wide awake even more pumped up when that game was over. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, that was a fantastic game, and certainly one for the record books, not only for the Indianapolis Colts, but for the NFL as well. So it's going to be an exciting game tonight, Monday Night Football, Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, Josh, I tell you what, there was a lot going on in the NFL yesterday, obviously bringing awareness to breast cancer, and that's certainly something that the balance supports and in any way can be a part of. So I think it's a good thing when men could wear pink, Josh. Josh, don't you have a pink shirt?
I do have a pink dress shirt. I don't have a pink breast cancer shirt, but I do have a pink dress shirt.
You have a pink dress, too, don't you?
No, I don't have a pink dress. Maybe for Halloween.
Maybe for Halloween. I'll tell you who does have a pink dress. I think Gary Snatter. Gary, are you with us?
Yeah, Tom, I thought that was confidential.
Well, I tell you, one team, according to you, does not have a pink dress, and that's Notre Dame. And they came up to Purdue, West Lafayette, Indiana. I was unable at the last minute to not join you there, so I know that you were there. You had an opportunity to run into some people that owe you an interview, and you heard some pretty interesting stuff on the elevator. So we'll certainly get to that here in just a second. I'm going to use your teaser. I'm going to use the Gary Snatter teaser. What did Gary Snatter hear on the elevator at Purdue University? So we'll certainly get into that. All right, guys, when we get back, we are going to break down the Notre Dame-Purdue game and everything that came with it, including what was on the buffet list right here on the wrap-up on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Well, I guess we're back sooner than we anticipated. My soundboard's not working. Gary, can you hear me?
I can.
Can anybody hear me?
I can, Tom.
I can hear you, Tom.
Hello, Josh. Gary, can you hear me?
Josh, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Gary.
Hello.
Apparently, Tom is just gone.
We are having some major technical difficulties.
Can we just take the show
okay,
over, Josh?
Josh, Gary, can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
I can hear you.
I have no idea. Are you with me, guys?
We are.
All right. I think we can hear each other, but for some reason on my end, we're not hearing anything whatsoever. We've been having problems all freaking day long. Even going back to your show, Gary, we were having some problems. So I guess we're gonna miss a break. So that's fine. We want to certainly get right into the Notre Dame Boilermaker game. Gary, you were there. Obviously, Notre Dame controlled it throughout the whole game. Go ahead and break down for us the Fighting Irish and the Purdue Boilermakers.
Obviously, Notre Dame jumped on Purdue early, put the gas down, did not let up. Purdue was overmatched offensively and defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, Notre Dame moved the ball at will. Still had a couple of drives, long drives, and no points, which Coach Kelly said he still has a concern with, but overall, you had Tommy Rees playing more than capable to win that game. You had Jonas Gray and Sierra Wood running like monsters through a Purdue defense that just could not tackle them. And when all was said and done, and then you had a Purdue offense that was just inept, both with Terbus and Robert Marv at the helm. Dominating performance against, you know, a Purdue team that is way out of its league. They run their record to 3-2, winners of three straight games now. No turnovers, but that was the I guess the big news coming out of this game. No turnovers and a big 38-10 win over Purdue Saturday night.
Josh?
Well, I want to give my hats off. Well, you know, I kind of thought Purdue was going to win that game, and Gary tried his hardest all week long to convince me Purdue I didn't have a chance. Turns out he was right. My question is, Danny Hope, did Purdue forget you had a football game Saturday night? Were you intimidated? What exactly happened? Because they look like Indiana University's JV football team, which is bad because Indiana University's 1-4, but I don't think that Purdue team could beat IU.
You know, all week, Notre Dame, the coaches and announcers said this is Purdue's Super Bowl. They've been preparing for this game all week. This is their Super Bowl for the season. And they played like it was the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they played like the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Josh.
I think the Irish look really good. I think Jonas Gray, Sierra Wood, depending on how the rest of the season go for the Irish, especially if the Irish could blow out USC and Stanford. Yeah, you think it's possible one of those could be considered a Heisman candidate at some point later in the year?
You know, the way Sierra Wood is running, I don't think they'll get Heisman consideration simply because they were not in the hype before the season. And you rarely see a player come in that was not mentioned as a possible Heisman candidate preseason come in and win that award. But they definitely need to be in the talk, especially Sierra Wood, who had 20 carries for 191 yards. And he right now is running like a madman. There are very few defenses that can contain him, and he is definitely, I think, the machine that is making that offense go right now.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think Notre Dame has improved in a lot of ways, and I said this on your show too, and I think that they've got a lot of more improvement to go. I think their special teams really just aren't firing on all their cylinders, but I certainly think the defense has tuned it up a couple notches. And so, you know, they've got Air Force coming in next week. So what are some of the key things that Notre Dame has to prepare for Air Force on this game?
I think when you look at the Air Force game coming into Notre Dame Stadium next Saturday, as long as Notre Dame controls the turnovers and does not turn the ball over, I think they'll be just fine. Air Force is coming in, giving up a huge lead, a huge fourth quarter lead to Navy, and finally winning in overtime. But I think the Notre Dame defense will corral the Air Force running attack, and I just don't see Air Force being competitive in this game unless Notre Dame turns the ball over.
Okay, well, guys, we certainly want to make sure that we get in everything. We've got about 10 minutes left here, and we were talking right when you called in. We were actually talking about the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Bucks. What are your thoughts on that game tonight, Gary?
You know, it's a big game for Matt Painter or Curtis Painter. I got Purdue on the mind here. It's a big game for Curtis Painter. I think this will be a close game. I think I called it 24-14 on my show for the Bucks, but I think the Colts will stay competitive. I think a late score will probably put the game out of reach for the Colts. But as long as they stay away from the pick sixes and letting the defense, the Tampa Bay defense, score, I think they will be in this game, and probably a late score puts it out of reach for the Colts.
Right, and I think that the Colts can win this game. I think Curtis Painter is going to have a good game. I think he's going to have a magnificent showing on his debut as an NFL starter. Josh, I know that you echo some of the same things that I did on Gary's show earlier, but you think Curtis Painter is going to have a great game tonight?
I absolutely do think Curtis Painter is going to have a great game. I went back and I watched the preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. I watched the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and right now I'm a one-man bandwagon for you, Curtis Painter. I think if the Colts give you time, well, I can protect you. fans, we have bigger things to worry about in Indianapolis than Jesse Andrew Luck. Anybody ever heard of Matt Castle? I think Curtis Painter has the chance to come in for the Indianapolis Colts, and we keep running the ball. Our defense keeps stepping up, and he has time to throw. We're in a really bad division. I think Curtis Painter has a chance to take this team to the playoffs if everything goes right for the Colts.
Well, that's an absolute big if. Well, one thing that's going to happen here in Indianapolis is the Super Bowl, and we learned today, Mr. Gary Snyder, and I don't know if you know this or if you even care, but Madonna is going to do the halftime show right here in Indianapolis. Now, that is something.
Oh, something to cry about, maybe.
I wonder if she'll sing like
a virgin. My question is, you know, at what point is the Super Bowl committee, and you see it year after year, going to look out into our pop culture these days and pick someone that is not washed up and 50 years old plus and needs to get up on stage with a walker?
No, absolutely. In the halftime, yeah, Madonna's going to be up there with a walker singing "Like a Virgin." For the, yeah, you know,
that girl hasn't seen Like a Virgin since she was probably 12.
And that's giving her credit. But anyway, yeah, I agree. I mean, you would think that it's a big enough gig that they should have people lined and ready to go. A lot of people say, well, it's about budget. We can't afford them. You can afford, you can afford the Avery Brothers. Come on now.
Well, seriously, it doesn't even have to be them, but, I mean, what Madonna cost? A six-pack of beer and a box of condoms?
I actually have news that will make that even worse than Madonna's point. Apparently, and I was listening to one of our good friends been on the show a few times, JMV over on 1070 The Fan, and apparently there's a report that I'm not sure, I'm not old enough to remember what group, maybe it is the name of the group, but Axl Rose and Slash and some of those other people are going to perform with Madonna.
Now, I am from the Guns N' Roses era, and I would watch Guns N' Roses. But to see Axl Rose and Madonna on the same stage, that is a train wreck waiting to happen.
And speaking of train wrecks, we want to talk about one big train wreck that happened out there with the Arizona game. And, Gary, you and I talked about it as well. But I certainly wanted to make sure that we talked about it today. And Josh, did you see that the play with the replay? And did you see that?
I did see that, and I thought it was a stupid call. But my question is, Gary and Tom, do you agree with Tony Dungy? I think you maybe went a bit far on Football Night in America when you said the NFL fabricated that rule to ensure the Giants would win that game.
I don't know if it was fabricated, but it was an awful call. And an instant replay where they can zoom in on someone's knee from a camera, 600 yards away and tell whether he was down. You could, I could see in playing fast motion that nobody touched this guy. And, the NFL can make any excuse they want to justify it was wrong and it cost Arizona the game.
Well, I think they got it wrong. And I don't know. You want to say that it cost them the game, but at the same time, if they had done some other things that had not been put them in that situation to begin with. But certainly beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is one that went way wrong, went way bad, and I don't know about the fabrication part of it, but that is a classic example and an argument that will be used for arguments to come about the problems with instant replay. And, now they're going to actually start going to, and maybe next year, going to college way of doing the instant replay. Josh, have you heard anything about that?
I have heard that's a possibility. I don't know if it's really going to work. My bigger concern, they got that wrong. Is the NFL going to fine Tony Dungy for saying they fabricated a play? That's what I'm interested to see.
No. Not at all. One, because he's Tony Dungy, and he can pretty much say whatever he wants to say. Two, because he's Tony Dungy. And three, because he's Tony Dungy. Gary?
You know, the NFL would try to find my mother if they could for something. But I don't think there's a fine coming. He's not in any way associated with the team. He is an announcer on a TV station. But trust me, if they could find a way to fine him, they would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, it's going to be a good game tonight out in Tampa Bay. Hopefully another one for the record books, and heck, we'll just settle for a win at this point, even if it's not a pretty win. Okay, Gary, what's your prediction again?
24-14, Tampa Bay.
Josh?
I'm going to go 35-14, Colts blowout Tampa Bay.
I'm not going to go for the blowout, but I am going to go for the win. 21-17, Indianapolis Colts win. Let's hope that we're all good to go. Gary L. Snyder Show gave away a Keurig coffee maker just for going to his Facebook page today. So who knows what happens with the Gary Snyder Show. So just find him on Facebook. Start stalking him on Facebook and start stalking him on Twitter. Gary, how do they do that?
Just go to at Gary Snyder Show on Twitter. You can go to, matter of fact, just go to GaryLSnyder.com. I got links to both my Facebook and my Twitter. Follow me, and we're working on a big prize for Christmas that will run for October and November. We're currently working on that, and let's just say this. Steve Jobs would approve.
Huge. Huge news to come from the Gary L. Snyder Show. All right, guys, that's going to do it. Josh, 1 minute wrap up real quickly, and we've got to get out of here.
Tune in to Monday Night Football tonight. The Indianapolis Colts look to get their first win, and Curtis Painter looks to prove me a genius, and I say he may just be the next quarterback for the Colts.
Well, and absolutely. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think that Curtis Painter does well, and so we will see how that goes. Guys, it is Monday night. The Colts play tonight against Tampa Bay. 12th man, you're up. You are wrapped up until tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More!